You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the third Sunday of Advent, December 11th, 2016, by guest preacher Pastor Mercedes Tootie Hamilton of Prim Tabernacle AME Church in Seattle, Washington, with an introduction by Brian Gregory, Associate for Youth Ministries at St. Thomas.
Good morning. When I was in seminary, I took a class called Theology, Race, and Culture that explored themes of identity and ministry. The professor of that class told those of us in the class, primarily white males, go find a pastor who doesn't look like you and ask them to show you and tell you what you don't know about the world. I thought, that's a good idea. I should do that. And never did. Until June of 2015, the shootings in Charleston, South Carolina at Emmanuel AME Church took place. And I realized I could no longer sit and do nothing. There's a AME, African Methodist Episcopal Church, less than a mile from my house. So Kelly, my wife, myself, and our daughter went that following Sunday. And I met Pastor Mercedes Tootie Hamilton, who is the pastor there, and asked her that question. I said, can we get coffee? And so we got coffee a year and a half ago. We've been getting coffee ever since. And the youth of St. Thomas and the youth of Prim have gone and served together. We've shared conversations and just shared our lives with one another to grow and learn together. So it is my pleasure this morning to welcome Pastor Mercedes Tootie Hamilton to our pulpit.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow, this is much different than my pulpit. I ask you to pray for me fiercely, amen? Two caveats about me and my gifting of preaching. One is very early when I was a licentiate, the Holy Spirit came to me in the pulpit and said, if you want my power, you need to take your shoes off. And I said, oh no, no one else has their shoes off. And he said, if you want my power and anointing, take your shoes off. As it says in Exodus 3:5 and Joshua 5:15, that when I stand to preach God's word, I stand on holy ground. So I remove my sandals. As soon as my sermon is over, I promise I'll put them back on. Another propensity I have is sometimes to move. Maybe I'll be better today because I'm totally isolated. Maybe God is trying to teach me something. If I move, the Holy Spirit will move me and not me myself. Amen? Let's pray and get into this word. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come into your presence today thanking you and praising you for the opportunity, Father God, to come and speak before these your people. Move Mercedes behind the cross that they will see and hear you and will be enlightened and feel revelation from your word as we are enjoying and learning and searching our hearts in this Advent season. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today from the gospel comes from the book of Matthew. And I would like you to ponder for a while the subject of a divine messenger, a divine messenger. And what I understood about this scripture when I first started to read it was that the setting of it is that Jesus has just sent out his disciples. He's just sent them out and giving them their marching orders on where they should go and who they should proclaim the gospel to. And then he goes on to be encountered by some disciples of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has sent these disciples to Jesus because John the Baptist is imprisoned. And he has been imprisoned because he has not been politically correct. he said some things to some people that got some feathers ruffled. And because of that, he was in prison because he spoke about the leader of the nation at that time, the Roman leader, Herod. And Herod had an issue with having an adulterous relationship with his brother's wife. And so John took issue about that. And because of that, he was in prison. So he sent some of his own disciples to where Jesus was so that they could bring him back news of what was going on with the Messiah. So as these disciples encounter Jesus, they start to ask, are you the Messiah? And we've come from John, and we want you to help us so we can validate that you are really the Messiah. And Jesus says to them in the beginning of this pericope, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Now, Jesus quotes the scripture in Isaiah. I find many times in the New Testament, it is so important for us to recognize that God always ratifies and confirms himself in his word. And some people will say, oh, well, the Old Testament really is the Old Testament and New Testament is really the New Testament. And there's no combination between the two. There's no connection. No, there's always, as I say again, there's always a connection between the two. And so Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah. So he goes back to say, no. The blind are now seeing and the lame are now walking. Yes, I am the one that we have prayed for. I am the manifestation of God here on earth. So he sends those disciples back to give that news to John. But then he addresses the crowd. And he talks to the crowd because apparently before John was ever in prison, throngs of people, and there was no internet at the time. We could not text message the disciples to say, well, we need to go to the wilderness because there's someone proclaiming the gospel in the wilderness. And so Jesus just goes back to the people and says, didn't you go out into the wilderness? Did you see a reed shaken by the wind? What did you see? He poses questions to the congregants. As I would think God would pose questions to us right now. If we have faith, if we believe in God, if we say we are Christians, shouldn't we then have a witness to one another and to most especially unbelievers as to what we have seen, what we have experienced in the presence of the Most High God? And he goes on to say, well, were you looking for someone who's wearing soft robes? Because people in soft robes only live in royal palaces. So who did you see? You saw a prophet. And he goes on to talk about John. And he goes on to talk about how highly John is revered as being born of women because there was none greater than him besides Jesus himself, born of a woman. But let me take you back in this story a bit. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter, and it talks about Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant. And Elizabeth was a more mature, shall I say, a mature woman, but most certainly past childbearing ages. And Mary comes into her presence, and I do believe that the Holy Spirit sent Mary to Elizabeth, one, because Elizabeth was a family member. So it was one that Mary could relate to and knew well. But then Mary also had to see how God could do the impossible. And so it could help her, who was a virgin, know that God would use her to bring forth the Messiah. And what I always love about telling this story is that as Mary entered the room and greeted her cousin Elizabeth, the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt. So her stomach moved. The baby not only kicked, it leapt. And it shows me how powerful the Holy Spirit is, even in utero. That John was bathed in the Holy Spirit from conception. And because of that, that holy anointing propelled him into being that messenger, that divine messenger for Jesus Christ. It also talks about the fact, in the scripture it says that were you looking for somebody in soft robes? And if you look in Mark, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, it talks about the fact that John was somewhat of a radical. He didn't look like other people. He didn't dress like other people. We find that he was clothed in camel's hair and wore a leather belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He wasn't like everybody else. Sometimes God uses those of us who are not like everybody else. Sometimes we need to stop, instead of always wanting to blend in with everybody else, we have to celebrate our uniqueness. Amen? Amen. We have to allow God's revelation to shine through us, no matter how we are formed, no matter what age we are, no matter what our socioeconomic status is, no matter what our gender. God can use any single one of us at any particular time, because he's God all by himself. So the scripture says that John wore clothes of camel hair, and it piqued my memory. As a child, I remember having a camel hair coat, and at the time, it was my best coat, and it was the time that I would wear my camel hair coat, not to school, but I wore it to church. But I always remember that coat itched me. And my mother would say, close it up. And I put it itches. It might be my best coat, but it itches. So I think of John being out in the wilderness, wearing camel skin and wearing camel's hair. But he did not mind being itchy or being uncomfortable to proclaim the gospel. He did not mind eating locusts. I mind. But John didn't mind. And consuming wild honey, because he was on a mission for the Most High God. It is important that we all think about and ponder during Advent our own mission for the Most High God. Has God put something in you? Something to proclaim, something to be a guide for someone else. Has God anointed you with his Holy Spirit and his power to edify his kingdom here on earth? We do believe, Brian and I talk a lot about the kingdom of God here on earth and how it manifests itself. And I do believe it was not only isolated to the Bible and biblical times. It lives amongst us right now. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to open us to new possibilities and to open doors that were previously closed. I think about, as I was preparing this, the news was on. And what brought us together was the shooting in South Carolina. And right now, the accused Dylan Roof is on trial. And I said, God, why would you bring this into my vision while I'm studying your word? And God chastened my heart, because he said, John had to suffer to proclaim the gospel. And he also died a very violent death. But he fulfilled his course, and he prepared the way for the Messiah. And I think of those 9 souls whose lives were snuffed out in Bible study. And they prepared a way for me to come into your church and to proclaim God's gospel to your ears. I don't take that lightly. They paid a high price to bring Brian and I together and to ripple out blessings all across this world. They gave their lives. And I got to meet 2 of the survivors about 6 or 7 months ago, because there were 12 people in that Bible study. 3 lived and 9 died. And I went to a place that I was very uncomfortable in. I don't really like formal banquets. And I'm a widow, so to go alone to a formal banquet, it feels a little weird for me. But the Holy Spirit pushed me and said, go, get dressed up and go anyway. And I found that I was seated at the VIP table. And I wasn't going to go. And I found two ladies there, very humble in spirit. And they were the honorees. And they were two of the women who were in the room when that assailant came into Bible study. And he left them alive so that they could tell the story. I'm sure glad they told the story. Because had they not told the story, I would not be here among you right now. And I thank the Lord for opening a door for me and for having me so warmly received by each and every one of you. But the kingdom of God does not look white. It doesn't look black. It's not Latino. It's not Asian. It's every single one of us worshiping, fellowshipping, serving God Almighty. Yes, we've had a divine messenger in John the Baptist. And he serves as an example to each and every one of us. That sometimes it will be uncomfortable. Sometimes it will be itchy. Sometimes we will go to places that we didn't really intend to go. But if God Almighty sends you there, know that God has gone before you and he will be behind you and he will uphold you in doing his will. I thank you for the opportunity to serve with each and every one of you this day. Amen. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.